This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The Oregon State Legislature with its every other year long session underway. A lot to talk about, things going on in Salem. We're working hard to keep track of it with multiple interviews each week with lawmakers that represent part or all of Douglas County. State Senator David Brock Smith on this afternoon. David, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
Many things to hit. I wanted to ask first, because we have talked about this with you and the other lawmakers as well, and certainly a lot of interest in Douglas County, on the gun legislation. There were three main bills. Where do they stand right now?
So there is Senate Bill 243 that is on the president's desk. Senate Bill 243... It deals with bump stocks. It also deals with a 72-hour hold on gun purchases. And the third part of the bill is a situation where it will allow a jurisdiction the ability to modify the definition of a public building to include the grounds or adjacent area to that building, and which is especially harmful to those of us with our concealed handgun license. You're in a situation where, pick a fire district, for example, they would be able to then pass an ordinance that bans firearms within their jurisdiction. The legislation says that they have to post, but how would you post that, anywhere? It's a horrible piece of legislation. The attack on our Second Amendment rights is one that's ridiculous, and this is another ridiculous bill that we are locked and adamantly opposed to. I'm grateful the Senate president hasn't brought it to the floor. I'm hopeful that the Senate president sends it back to a dead committee, to be honest with you, or holds it on his desk until the end of session. There are two bad gun bills, House Bill 3075 and House Bill 3076, over, of course, in the House. They have moved out of their respective committees. They have resources attached to them, so they went down to Ways and Means. House Bill 3075 is essentially a end run around Measure 114 that's kind of been held up in the courts. And it allows for its implementation, which, was a horrible piece of legislation enacted by the people. Frankly, pushed with out-of-state dollars for lobbying and advocacy for the bill, the Bloomberg money, essentially, that is pushing bad gun legislation in blue states across the country. House Bill 3076 is also, again, in Ways and Means. And this is a very technical, bad piece of legislation. It is one that we are also extremely opposed to. We can have a whole segment on what all this bill does, but it really goes after our gun dealers and makes it frankly, impossible for them to do business in the state of Oregon. I want to commend my Democrat colleague, Representative Paul Evans, who is a longtime Democrat representative from the Independence Monmouth area. He came out in a recent newsletter adamantly opposing both House Bill 3075 and 3076, as well as Senate Bill 243. He states in part that, he states in part that he believed that it's an infringement and a violation of a right and the Second Amendment of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 27, the Oregon Constitution, and it's indefensible. He goes on to say legislators take an oath to both the constitutions, and are bound morally, as well as legally, to walk the consistent pathway. These package of bills now moving through the Oregon legislature is offensive to the intent and spirit of our federal and state constitutions. So I am hopeful that other Democrat colleagues feel the same as Representative Evans, and I'm very much appreciative that he has put that out there to not only the citizens of Oregon, but also for his colleagues to think twice and three times before wanting to move such measures.
Now, are you seeing, when you look at these, I mean, would they be some of the strongest or most restrictive bills in the country?
No. Well, Senate or House Bill 3076 would be one of the strictest. I believe New York has something similar. House Bill or Senate Bill 243 is also very restrictive in the sense that statewide or countrywide because of the patchwork of public spaces that could be identified or that could be secured, if you will, as gun-free zones. When we were pushing back against Senate Bill 554 that passed a number of years ago, I remember the FBI data and statistics then were 17.2% of mass shootings were stopped by a good guy with a gun. Less than 1% of individuals that have a concealed handgun license, because you have to go through training and everything, as everyone knows, commit felonies with felonies in general, let alone with a firearm. And so going after law-abiding citizens and Senate Bill 243 would make criminals out of law-abiding citizens is ridiculous. I mean, this virtuistic push with moms demand action and all of this ridiculousness is an affront on our Second Amendment rights, and it needs to be stopped. There is no reason. If you look at the data across the country, let alone in Oregon, you have a situation where people are hurt with weapons are usually gun-free zones because, again, good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns.
Let's switch gears here. Talk about the Oregon Department of Transportation package. And is there an update on where that's progressing?
There is no update as of this morning. Of course, as you know, the co-chairs laid out their framework that has just a litany of increases across the board, from payroll tax fees to a 50% increase in the gas tax for Oregonians. And Oregonians already pay more for fuel than the national average, because frankly, we're farther away from the refinement. And when you have refineries in California that are closing down due to legislative restrictions down in California, then our fuel has to be trucked farther or railed farther away. from farther away. And so there is not an update on this transportation package. It's kind of wild, considering you had they did a transportation roadshow last year, right? Went around the state listening to people. But the co-chairs laying out their of a joint committee on transportation laying out their framework is all that we have heard. Of course, Senator Starr and Senator Weber are both on the joint committee on transportation for the Senate Republican caucus, and so we wait for them to bring us any updates. But again, as of this morning, we were Senator Starr and Senator Weber were asked, and there was no update.
All right, we're going to talk more when we come back. A number of other things to cover. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. He is live from Salem, State Senator David Brock Smith on Inside Douglas County. It's 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1 tomorrow. Angela Gross from Court-Appointed Special Advocates of Douglas County as we continue talking about Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, which is observed in the month of April. State Senator David Brock Smith live in Salem with the Oregon State Legislature. Certainly a lot going on. Looking at the calendar, looking at the temperature today, a reminder that fire season is approaching. Next, wanted to ask you about the Oregon Department of Forestry. Are they set for what they believe and lawmakers believe is the amount of funding needed for the upcoming wildfire season?
No. The short answer is no, Kyle. Thank you. You know, we don't know what the wildfire seasons are going to bring every year. Wildfire funding, there is a House bill that I'm not too familiar with over in the House that has moved out of their respective committee. There was a wildfire funding work group that came up with various strategies on how to pay for wildfire funding. That bill moved out of committee and is in the Committee on Revenue at the moment, which does not have the deadlines of the various committees that did the chamber deadlines of last Wednesday. Just a point of clarification there, last Wednesday, the majority of the committees had the chamber deadline that if it wasn't in a joint committee or if it wasn't in Senate Finance and Revenue or House Revenue or Rules, excuse me, then those bills are no longer moving forward in the process. And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And so, you know, we came in for a special session in December, and I pushed hard for that special session to pay our wildfire bills from the last season because it needed to be done. I mean, many of those contractors, for example, that helped save properties and lives in fought wildfire weren't getting paid. You know, Christmas around the corner, and of course, those companies have employees. But as far as, you know, the state's ODF's budget and through June 30th of this year, yes, they do have funding. We will be creating, of course, the state budget for the next biennium, which then will start July 1st. And there will be in that piece of legislation, in the state budgets, funding for Oregon Department of Forestry and wildfire funding. Of course, you know, there are, and I just had a conversation about this with OBB this morning. You know, you had President Trump issuing an executive order a few weeks ago talking about the need for increased harvest on federal lands. You had, my understanding is you had an emergency declaration for timber production in the state, in the country, which then allows the federal government to move forward with more harvest on federal lands. We know, and I've said this, we've talked about this before, Kyle, where on the 10-year average from 13 to 23, the data is clear that 82% of the acres burned are on federal land, and of the 18% of acres that burned on private land, 15% of those acres are burned from fires that come off federal land to private land, and of the 3% of fires that start on private land, and those acres burn, 98% of those acres are kept to less than 100 because they're managed resource. And so what needs to happen is the federal government, in my opinion, and the work that I'm doing as the new co-chair of the Council of State Governments West Wildfire and Disaster Preparedness Committee, which is all the western states from Wyoming to Alaska and Hawaii, is to create a unified voice of our state legislators to our congressional delegation in D.C. so that we can front load those needed dollars. Transition, I have a bill in the legislature that's down in Ways and Means that will help ease the transition from our wildland firefighters to fuels reduction work in the off season. And the federal government needs to fund that work so that we can start within the wildland urban interfaces and move ourselves out, thus creating full-time year-round jobs in our rural communities, mitigating the catastrophic wildfire that that exists on the federal landscapes within our rural communities, near our rural communities, and getting local logs to local mills to keep that sustainably going so that we can make sure that we can help our local mills as well. So it is work that we continue to do. I passed Senate Bill 872 in 23 that we've discussed before that really sets the position of the state on where we want to go there. And I'm looking forward to working with the Trump administration, our congressional delegation, on getting those dollars and resources where they belong so that we can mitigate these wildfires on federal lands and bring jobs to our rural communities and the forests again, as well as trees to our local mills.
Just a few minutes left. You often put out a bad bills list. What are the maybe a couple things topping that recently?
Well, the major threat, again, to our wood product industries is a bill sponsored by Senator Golden and Representative Gomba, House Bill 3489, which is imposes a severance tax on owners of timber harvested from public and private forest land. It imposes the tax at rates determined within the bill, and based on the acreage of forest land held common ownership. As we know, we have a harvest tax because you wait 40 to 60 years before you can harvest your timber, usually. And we've been able, I've been adamantly opposed to this legislation since coming to the legislature in 17. Former Representative Holvey would always try to bring this bill back. Senator Golden from Ashland also does it, and we continue to push back and try to kill this bill because that deal, relationship, agreement was made many years ago, and so taxing the owner, private owners of private land that is in timber production is a ridiculous idea. I mean, our small woodland owners are critically important to our economies, as well as those that that are our larger woodland owners, and they employ people. We have a situation where we need more sticks and to build the houses in this state, and going after those individuals are ridiculous. And to that end, a good bill is a bill of mine that is going to help. I'm working with our small woodland owners and the Douglas County and Small Woodlands Association because we did pass a piece of legislation in 23 that I sponsored with then Senator Finley that is essentially an estate tax for farm and forest, relief at $15 million. The language was more for farm than it is for forest. And so I have a piece of legislation in the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee that we're amending with the small woodland owners so that we can fix that for them and so that they can actually receive the benefit that was intended in the base bill back in 23.
Now, real quick, you've got a town hall coming up on Friday. Talk about that.
We do. Myself, of course, Representative Osborne, Representative Boyce, and Representative Scarlatos will be in Roseburg for a town hall on Friday. At the Roseburg City Hall, encourage everyone to come. And then Representative Boyce and myself will be moving to the other part of the Senate district and having a town hall in Coquille at Saturday morning at 10, and then in Gold Beach Saturday afternoon at 3. It's a big district, so trying to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to meet and discuss the issues that are important to them. And I just want to close with I hope everyone has a blessed Easter with their family over this weekend, and be safe, Kyle.
All right. Thank you, State Senator David Brock Smith, live from Salem, 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.